to look at the North Gate. You'd think that Malshar was impregnable. The walls, nearly 50 feet high, dozens of archers with longbows at the ready, massive ballista pointed out into the morning fog. These troops, however, are not so sure that they will survive the day. They know that the walls appear sturdy and solid, but are riddled with cracks and holes due to years of neglect. They also know that standing side by side with trained soldiers are bandits, thieves, and murderers, who just days ago were their sworn enemies. Reports have been few and far between, but rumors plentiful. 5,000 well-trained Claudian legionnaires, schooled in siegecraft from birth. A horde of ravenous undead who fall only to rise again and again, or a mixture of both, attacking in a pincer-like fashion to close on the defenders and rip through the walls like paper. Whatever it may be, it is coming. Though they are in summer, the previous night was bitter cold, but the sunrise brought with it heat more in line with the season, resulting in a nearly impenetrable fog. As haze begins to fall, it becomes abundantly clear that the defenders are no longer alone. Becoming visible, hundreds of Claudian troops, arrayed in tight formations across the horizon, two massive siege towers full of infantry, a pair of sturdy catapults surrounded by cavalry waiting to storm down on any ground defense. In the center of a gargantuan phalanx of warriors, armed with spears and shields, stand troop commanders atop fearsome horses that snort steam in the morning sun. How could this many troops move up the North Road so quietly? Not a man or woman facing them made a sound. This did not appear to be a horde of zombies, but it did not feel like they were altogether human. No amount of discipline could produce an army so still and silent. No rumor accounted for this. Then, after an uncomfortable amount of time, the commanders raised their hands in eerie unison, bring them down wordlessly, and all at once the silent army marches forward. The siege of Malshar has begun.
Welcome, welcome! We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 22. We have got the gang back together again. For the last three episodes, our heroes have been on solo missions, and they're all going to get back together today. Going to be like that Game of Thrones episode that never happened. So we're very excited about this. How y'all doing?
The world hasn't exploded yet.
Okay.
In or out of game.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So you all also are level 4 now. So tell me about your leveling up. Let's start with Kiernan. Assuming you stuck with Ranger.
I stuck with Ranger. Correct.
Okay. Cool. Cool. And anything other than the ability scores really at this level?
No, nothing. Just the ability. Okay. I added 2 to my dexterity.
Okay. Any new cool spells or anything else like that?
I get a new spell. I don't know how cool it is, but it'll keep us alive, hopefully. It's Goodberry.
Goodberry is great. What item did you get, Tiernan?
I got a longbow +1 and a couple special arrows.
Neat. Yes, you've got some magical arrows. We'll pull them out when you need them. Alrighty, let's go to Zika's.
Basically the ability score improvement and the wild shape improvement to 1/2 CR, and I can turn into things that swim.
You can be fishes now.
Or otters.
Still on those, but sure. And what, you just took ability score? What did you improve?
I felt Zeke needed to be a little bit wiser.
Tell us about your magic item.
My magic item is an interesting thing that I kind of came up with called a Traveler's Lucky Clover. It has 4 leaves that I can give to 4 companions, and then once per short rest, a person with one of the leaves can cast a cure spell on another player who has a leaf within 30 feet, so you don't have to be right up close to touch them. And then also once per long rest, it can be used to roll a saving throw with advantage.
And Razor,
I bumped up my constitution because I have a feeling I'm going to be taking a lot of hits.
Okay. And tell us about your magic item.
I have a +1 Warhammer that was of dwarven manufacture that was crafted by a Master Smith that's just been, you know, hanging out underneath Malshar for hundreds of years. Yeah, it's just your standard plus one Warhammer, other than it's constructed by somebody that really knows what they're doing, and it's got all sorts of probably holy symbols and stuff all over it.
Alrighty. So you all went on the individual adventure. It is the next day. You have all gotten back together again at the Talking Bell. Ulysses is here. Ulysses is basically getting the bar ready to receive people who are displaced throughout this siege that's supposed to be happening anytime now. You will also have noticed that very early in the morning, it got very cold, unseasonably cold. You're basically in the middle of summer, and it got down to like 20 degrees. And all morning, the whole city's been in a kind of thick fog because the temperature went back up again. So it's been foggy around the town. We're going to flash to you all meeting back up again in the tavern. And here you all are.
Good afternoon.
Greetings.
How is everyone?
I'm alive. It was touch and go there for a few moments.
I'm a bit concerned to hear that. What exactly happened?
Well, Umar and I decided to go on a bonding trip deep underneath Malshar to find some aid in the coming battle, and we did, but we almost died to some animated armor and such. Both of us nearly sacrificed ourselves for the other. Very, very strange. But we found a true legend, the dwarves, who's been down there for hundreds of years just manufacturing weapons, and he's agreed to help the dwarves in defending the city of Malshar against the coming threat. So that's good.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like a great boon.
Hopefully.
And it sounds like you did indeed do some bonding.
Yes. Perhaps when this is all done, we'll share that cask over there. If we all live.
I suppose your relationship couldn't have gotten any worse.
Well, it could have. It's unlikely, but it could have.
Well, I'm glad you've done some bonding.
Agreed.
And how were your travels?
Had the most amazing evening.
Really?
I can't even begin to describe it. I mean, early in the day, I went over to talk to the Archdruid and the chieftains of the Isog to see how they felt. And that was quite a division. One wanted to stay and help with the siege. The other one wanted to, well, F off right back the Glasbale. And it came down to the Archdruid's decision to stick around and help with the siege. But that was partly due to something else that I did. It was absolutely mind-shifting. I went over up north near the university, and something came out to the lake, a great creature, an archfey.
What?
I spoke with him. It was absolutely magical. He called himself the Prince of Story. And he observes things in and out of time, and he sees things happening as they pass and just records them. And he'd had it in his mind that he was going to perhaps tip the scales in favor of our enemies. But I think I was able to convince him to just leave us alone to fight our own fight. It was because of that that the Archdruid came around and said that we'll stay. And apparently the Prince of Story, the reason why he's even here at all is there's some sort of like a fairy door, a tear that goes right to the Feywilds there.
You didn't eat anything that he offered, did you?
No. Honestly, if it hadn't happened to me, I wouldn't believe it myself.
You didn't promise him anything, did you?
No, I simply suggested to him that maybe he take a different role in the story than he'd ever experienced before. And that seemed to strike a chord with him, as he'd seen so many of the same stories played out over and over again. But this time, he seemed to be open to the idea of a new sort of story where he let things play out.
Well, good.
Sounds fascinating.
I suppose for my trouble now, I'm the champion of Isog and Glassbale, or some bit of madness.
Quite a title.
Give you a badge?
Just a wee flower, a wee little clover. Here. Why don't you take the leaves of the clover?
All right.
You'll like that. It's a bit magic in there. If we come into some sort of danger, we can cure each other right through that clover, even if we're a little ways away.
That's amazing.
I feel greatly honored. And I'll do everything I can to make my people proud.
I'm sure you will.
Exactly. You already have done so much, Lucan.
There's still so much to do. Bloody siege coming.
Kiernan, what have you and Cub been up to?
Well, we spent quite an interesting day with Dorathius, which was not something I'd wanted to do, but it just happened that way. I couldn't get rid of him. He just kept following us around.
To what end?
I ended up meeting with the Watcher, who is not the Watcher, but Tahar, if you remember Tahar.
Actually, this is probably the first Razor's hearing about it.
I think it is, actually.
Tahar.
Oh, right. Well, Zika and I came in contact with, I don't know what to call Tahar. Not an ally, not an enemy. I suppose...
A wild card?
A wild card, yes. That's a good way to put it. She is a changeling.
A changeling. Need a mouth shot.
Zika.
They're not very common.
No, they're not. Razor, I should tell you something. And I will change in front of him. I will change into Greta.
So these aren't illusions then as much as... Ah, that makes sense. I had just assumed you were some sort of illusionist.
Thank you for giving me the benefit of the doubt. I try to keep it quiet, as you can imagine, with the mysteries and history surrounding my people.
Yes, well, we all have our secrets to bear.
Well, no, it's your secret to bear as well, unfortunately. I'm sorry to put that on you.
Well, fortunately for you, I don't like to talk too much, and people don't like to listen to me, so your secret should be safe.
Well, we like to listen to you, most of the time. I also have some more information. So the Watcher is dead and was killed by the Shadow Consortium, or part of the Shadow Consortium.
What the year?
So the Law Keeper was correct.
Yes, I suppose. And the Consortium is, from what I understand, is run by a triumvirate. Anna is one of them. Harmon Cray and Taryn Karavax are the other two, if you've heard of them.
100% not.
Doesn't ring any bells.
Well, I don't know much about them, but they were the two who killed the Watcher, and they don't sound like very good people to me. I think it's something we should be concerned about.
Didn't someone come in after the meeting and warn Lady Anna about what somebody else was up to? Perhaps it was one of them?
Yeah, the scout did say Cray, that Cray had some kind of plan that didn't go well.
Oh, that was probably part of the plan, I'm assuming. He sent in people to try to dispose of the Claudian commanders, and somehow the plan went awry, and the plague or disease or whatever you want to call it that is in the city now, I think Cray started it.
Did he know?
Well, your impression is he inadvertently set it off.
Set it off.
Yeah.
Well, as dishonorable and distasteful as the thought of getting rid of the enemy commanders in such a way, it would have been useful. Well, we'll have to deal with what he has wrought.
Yes. And the Consortium answers to some kind of dark power. I don't know much about it, but that was the implication I got.
So the Consortium is run by three people that answer to a dark power.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of them are as, quote, nice as Lady Anna.
From what I understand, yes.
Well, let's worry about this siege before we worry about anything else.
The Watcher is going to help us, for what it's worth.
Well, that's good.
And this is when Grelb appears at the door. He looks a little hungover.
Yes.
And he's carrying a piece of parchment and just kind of reading it as he's walking in and looking a little bit freaked out. Oh, hey, you're all back. I got some news. It's not good. He's like kind of reading it off a sheet of paper. It's just like, somebody handed this to me and told me to give it to you. I went to turn around and ask who they were, and then they were gone. I don't know what kind of weird friends you guys have been making lately, but Well, things have kicked off this morning. Apparently the siege has started.
Started?
Yeah, maybe about an hour or so ago. Well, what happened was, I guess, ever since we found out about what was going on in the city, they've had guards and soldiers and everybody all up around the North Gate. We've had men posted there for days, 24 hours on long rotations, just, you know, waiting. And when that fog rolled in, it was like pea soup out there. And by the time it cleared, there was an army there, just there. Probably about 1,000 or so, maybe more. Siege towers and catapults and horses. And there's apparently been, looking at this thing, Shadow Consortium scouts are making sorties against the infantry. The walls are holding, but a bulk of the defense of the city is protecting, here's a big surprise, the upper half.
Of course.
So we are shit out of luck down here on the shitty side of the city.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and apparently there's an army of Isog in the university district. Don't really know what that's about. And apparently whoever gave me this is not exactly sure either. oh, yeah, there's another thing it says here about the army is very quiet. I don't know. I don't know what that means. So whatever is going to happen on this side of town is probably going to be our problem to deal with.
Sure, we can take an army on, the four of us.
Oh, aye. No problem.
Well, she gets some eyes on the ground to see where they might be breaking through.
Agreed.
Okay, so things are happening at the wall. The siege will continue until either the Claudians break through and come flooding into the city, or they're able to repel the siege. While this is going on, it has been spread out through the lower half that this new tavern, the Talking Bell, is a place to go if people need help, if they need to hide, if they're hurt, or if they have any information about weird shit going on in the lower half of the city. What you know, Razor, is that the Temple of the Forge, they have some units at the wall, and the rest of them are spread out at the bridges.
Mm.
And their job is basically to keep any enemy from moving either way on the bridges. If they do break through on the upper half, they're going to keep them from getting down to the lower half as much as they can. And if they're unable to, they're going to destroy the bridges. So whatever Mardug has in his bag of tricks is apparently something that can just blow up bridges. Whether or not that becomes something that they need to do, we'll see. But for the first couple hours of the day, if you're all hanging out at the bell, you will get a report from people coming in that the siege towers have not yet reached the walls. The catapults are within range of the city, and the cavalry is starting to move on the ground troops. There's ground troops basically in front of the wall, and then there's the scouts from the Shadow Consortium that are basically running into the infantry, seeking out the command structure. There are archers on the wall that are made up of Malshar troops and Shadow Consortium killers, I guess. and then there's troops waiting on the walls to answer those towers if and when they reach the walls. And when there's ballistas on the towers as well that are firing into those towers. Everything seems to be moving closer. The archers have taken some casualties. The Malshar forces on the ground are getting a little bit chewed up, but there's no clear winner of the siege at this point. You will also then get some reports from the lower half. You will hear that there are reports of infected troops climbing up from the river chasm into the Westgate district. Conflicting reports of some say it's Claudian troops, some say it's infected people, but there's chaos starting in the Westgate district. In Crampton, there's reports of strange rumblings under the ground that have just started up. You haven't had a lot of people coming in seeking refuge yet, but there people are starting to get nervous. From the sound of it, the Westgate guards and the citizenry of Westgate seem to be managing. That's what's going on.
Well, I'm very concerned about the rumblings underground. I think I should look into that if you'd like to join me.
Of course.
Hi.
Yeah, let's go. Alrighty, so you head out, and looking at the map, as here we are. So Crampton is almost dead in the middle of the lower half. So you are able to get over to Crampton in very little time from Shadyside. The first thing you notice is when you get about maybe a quarter of the way up the main thoroughfare in Crampton, that it's when you start feeling these tremors underground and people are scattering and getting out of the second stories of their homes and getting in doorways and or just running to different areas of the district. And you do spot dead in the middle there, the Fork in the Road Tavern. And Elzik Shalimar is herding people into the building. It's a sturdy building, well constructed. If you're fearing your homes collapsing in this, whatever this is, come in here and we'll get you all blankets and hot drinks or whatever you do in this situation. So you are not exactly sure. It's kind of coming from everywhere at this point. So what are you doing? What's running through your heads here?
Are there animals about?
Yeah.
Are they running toward a certain place? You know, what are
they're panicking.
Okay.
But if you want to give me a perception to see where there might be some you can talk to.
19.
All right. As you're looking around, birds are scattering from the trees. Dogs are barking. And then you see coming out from underneath a little tenement building are a bunch of rats. And they are scurrying in random directions. Usually rats don't like to run around and just be in the open where people can, you know, get to them. So if you get up to them quickly, you can probably catch one or two of them before they scurry out and disappear.
I will do so and try to speak with them.
The rat looks over to you and says, "Must get to higher ground. Cannot stay down under the city."
What's down there? Did you see it?
Giant creature burrowing into the ground, kicking up all the rat's nests and causing all kinds of disturbance. Very chaotic.
Find safety.
Yeah, the rats are fleeing the stinking district, apparently. So, is anybody else doing anything while Kiernan is talking to rats?
Well, I suppose if there's something going on under the city, we know some ways to get under the city.
You certainly do.
Hogsbane Alley.
Yeah, that's Hogsbane Alley.
The one entrance at Bale Malshar.
And you also know some sewer entrances in the lower half, because you were down there. You can actually, well, you can go down directly into the sewers through the privies at the fork in the road. It's not the most elegant way to do it, but then again, it's a sewer, so, you know.
Perhaps this is the best way to go in and find out, and then maybe while we're down there, the vibrations will feel a bit more directional.
Perhaps when we're underground, I will have a better view of where they're coming from.
And actually, you can give me a perception roll, Razor, because you're an underground kind of person as well, so.
18.
Okay. The rumbling seems to be localized, if you could call it that. It seems to mostly be zigzagging through the center of the district.
Would it almost seem, if this burrowing creature was being directed, that since it's zigzagging, that it's trying to collapse parts of this district?
That is a very, very apt estimation of what is going on.
You're clever.
As you are having that thought, you will see in the street that fork in the road, right in front of the fork in the road, starts to really, really shake. Windows are breaking. People who are out are falling down. And then you will see very quickly that the ground is starting to cave in that area with a thunderous noise of cracking pavement and unearthed streets. Mm-hmm. Part of the streets are falling in, part of it is coming up, and as that happens, you hear an unearthly noise, and something is burrowing up out of the ground, and you all can roll initiative.
Dun, dun,
right here, dun, in the street. Dun, dun. Alrighty, Razor.
15.
Kiernan.
18.
Zika.
16. Nice grouping there.
Yeah.
Let's see if Rob can mess this all up. He rolls a 6. Okay. Well, you know, Kiernan, something is coming up out of the ground, but it is not up out of the ground yet.
I will pull out my longbow and get ready to shoot at it as soon as it breaks the surface.
Okay, so you will ready an action to fire at whatever comes out of that hole.
Right.
Alrighty. Zika.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to kind of just be ready to attack it as well. Specifically, I will be ready to cast Fairy Fire.
Okay. And...
and it's Grenna, and we shoot her.
And we shoot her.
And Razor, you are next.
I will charge up towards the hole, well, run up towards the hole, cast Divine Favor, and wait to smack this thing as it comes out of the hole.
Okay. And as you're standing there, circling this ever-widening sinkhole, a huge triangular head comes up out of the ground into the street, and I'll share a picture of this thing, you know? This is what you see. So it is a, yeah, it is a, it is a massive four-legged beast with a bullet-shaped head, but its eyes are white and there's a yellowish fluid coming out of its jaws and it looks not well. And if someone wants to give me a nature roll, I'll tell you what you think it might be.
I got some of that nature stuff.
Do it up.
I'm terrible at this, but I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. And I got 11.
Okay.
Maybe our other nature person.
Well, I got an 18 for being terrible at this.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's good, because this is a kind of creature that you would know about, because this is a beast that dwells underground. It's called a Bulette. It is a burrowing nightmare that can move very quickly underground. You know that during the war that the Duergar used them as mounts sometimes. And this Bulette does not seem to be well. It has a very similar look of another infected creature with this horrible leg. You know that Bulettes can jump real far and just crash into people. You do not want to be in the path of these things when they come jumping at you. Mm. When they're underground, they can sense what's going on all around them, and they can burrow just right into the ground, back up again, burrow through stone. But when it pops out of the ground, that's when all you people will have chances to take shots at it, except for Grelb, who is just standing there getting ready to who knows what. So we'll go in order. Kiernan, you are going to shoot at it.
I am. Attempt to shoot at it. Does a 17 hit?
A 17 does hit.
Fantastic. And the damage is 10.
Okay. As this bullet-shaped head comes out of the ground, Kiernan looses an arrow and digs right into the side of its face. It definitely hurts it, but doesn't really seem to make any reaction to that. Zika, you are going to throw fairy fire at it? Okay. I need to make some kind of save, I'm assuming.
Looks to be a dex save of 15.
Let's see how he does. Oh, 13 is not a 15.
All right. So it is now glowing in a violet light.
Okay.
And we have advantage to attack it. And if it was about to become invisible, it can't.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, it doesn't appear to be trying to become invisible, but it's lit up like 4th of July and a lot easier to hit. So, Razor.
Right. 18 hit it.
18 does hit it.
That correct?
Yep.
All right. So 11 is I bring my warhammer, my glowing warhammer, down onto its foreleg.
All right. So as you smash it on its leg, it will turn to you and it will try to take a chompy bite out of you. I'm assuming a 16 doesn't hit you with your fancy new plate mail armor.
No.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you see its jaws just clomp right in front of you and that yellow fluid just goes spewing everywhere, which would be scary if you weren't immune to the virus. And Relb is all excited because he's never seen one of these things before and is all hot to kill it. So he is going to leap from where he is. His usual thing where he pulls his greatsword, leaps up into the air and just comes down on something. Doing a lunging attack with his greatsword. And, oh, critical! Natural 20, so that is definitely a hit. Oh, good God. Okay, well, wow. He's going to do a lot of damage to this thing.
I'm fine with that.
Wow. He hits it for 41 points of damage. This makes up for that entire fight where he couldn't hit anybody. Yeah, Grelb just flies up in the air and buries his sword into the side of this thing. And it starts reeling around. And it is very, very, very hurt. Back up to the top to Kiernan.
All right, I will attempt to shoot another arrow at it. That's 15 probably misses. Oh, we have advantage.
You have advantage.
Oh my gosh, I rolled a critical.
Okay.
I won't do as much damage as Grell, unfortunately. Not very good, in fact. That'll be 15.
Okay. Zika.
I guess it's time for Black Oak Full Crusher.
There it comes.
Run at it. Is with the advantage, that is, does a 16 hit?
16 does not.
Okay.
The Black Oak Full Crusher comes down, but it kind of bonks off its hard shell.
Glancing blow into some sort of pustule that was not at all essential, and it just made a mess and didn't really do any damage.
Yeah. Pus goes everywhere. Razor.
All right. I'll swing my glowing warhammer at it, and the first strike will miss, and then I will attack again, and that will hit.
Okay.
For 10 points of damage.
All righty. As this thing is struggling to get up out of this hole after being just slammed by everybody, Razor, describe how you kill this infected Bula.
Yeah, I take my glowing warhammer with both hands and swing up under its jaw and just crash right through it. And then it kind of plops down and rolls over next to me.
Okay, still half out of the ground, it comes to a screeching halt and it is assuredly dead. The tremors in Crampton have stopped.
Nice work, everyone.
Yes, well done, Graub.
Agreed.
That might be the biggest thing I've ever fought. I hope there's more.
I hope there's not more.
Oh, right. Yes, the city. Right. Yes. Really, really bad for the city. I got to remember that. We're helping people. Yes, you're safe. You're all safe now. You have had the best audience to this harrowing little fight here. Elzik Shalimar will shroud a cheer. First round for the heroes. And they invite you into the tavern, and Braille just looks at you and goes, it would be really rude for us not to go in there and drink for a minute.
One only, and then back to the Talking Bell where we can find out where we're in need of further...
Well, do we hear any more rumblings, or have they pretty much stopped?
You don't hear any more rumblings. However, in your time getting your one drink at the fork in the road, where it's become a little raucous since that happened, so... It's weird. It's like this probably shouldn't be happening, but everyone in this room who was terrified a minute ago seems to be celebrating for the moment. And as you're there, you get a report from the front lines. And the report is that the siege towers have reached the wall. The catapults have started loosing rocks and have been doing some superficial damage to the walls. The ground troops and the scouts have been getting pincered between the cavalry and the infantry troops that they have on the ground. The scouts have kind of disappeared, and there's talk that their unit might have routed, but also might have just folded into the remaining ground troops to bolster their numbers. It's very chaotic down on the ground. The ballistas are turning towards the catapults, but they're not hitting them. Archers are still just volleying back and forth, but the numbers of defending archers are really getting knocked down. It's looking a little rough, but the walls are holding and no one has broken through. And you keep hearing reports about the fact that there's something wrong with the Claudian troops. Once this fog cleared, they look wrong. They are fighting in a normal tactical fashion. But they said they have blank expressions on their faces. It's saying that the commanders that they can see are basically standing on horseback and occasionally turning their gaze to units and wordlessly commanding them, which is kind of weird. And the reports from Westgate are that there definitely appear to be a mixture of infected Claudian troops and infected townsfolk from towns on the outskirts of Malshon. The fighting in Westgate seems to be getting a little bit out of hand. You will also hear reports of strange things happening in the university district. There's no fighting, per se, going on up there, but there's reports of weird things. There's reports that a couple of trees uprooted themselves, started walking around, strange little creatures flying in the air, just kind of annoying people, and occasionally some weird singing. That, to you, Zika, sounds like garden variety weird face shit.
Right.
So that's what you hear from the lower half right now. So you have your one drink. I'm assuming you'd head back to the talking bell.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay. Yeah, so by the time you get there, you will notice that there are people in the bar. There's a little bit of activity of people who have come in to seek refuge. Ilis is taking care of them to the best of his ability.
I was beginning to fear that you wouldn't return. It's all well in Crampton.
It is now.
Good, good. Oh, Zika, you got a little something on your... Ugh.
No worries, I'll go wipe that off.
You will also be informed that as time goes by while you're here, that the fighting in Westgate is getting a little bit out of hand, that there's now a strange kind of back and forth between the remaining guard and a ghetto of serpent folk that has been rapidly growing in Westgate. So that apparently is becoming an issue. The guards are losing control and people are starting to squabble with each other.
Oh, great.
What do you think?
We should probably go there and try and get them to work together.
Aye. There's no point in fighting inside the city. There's enough of that out there.
All right. So you will head to Westgate. As you're getting across town, you're noticing that more people are moving from their homes and parts of the lower half are starting to look a little ghost towny. But when you get into the Westgate District, you will notice that there is a lot of noise coming from an area dead in the middle of the district on the other side of the marketplace there. You see guards pulling serpent folk out of their houses and yelling and screaming at each other. And if you look to the north, off towards the river, you see a small detachment of guards mixing it up with some soldiers and some other folk. They're basically holding them back, but they're not doing well. They could certainly use some more manpower. So, and you will notice a familiar face in the crowd of guards pulling the serpent folk out of their house. You see a large, balding, older guard. This is Kresh. This is the first person you guys met. He was duking it out with the old serpent folk, and you basically put him on the straight and narrow. But as you see, he appears to be in an argument with his commander, who is ordering the serpent folk to be dragged out and basically pressed into service. It's not right. You can't force them to fight. They don't even want to be here. This is not the way to get people to help you. Kresh, I don't know what happened to you. I don't know why all of a sudden you started to become a champion for the serpent folk. These miserable bastards, if they're not going to help us, then we should get them the fuck out of the city.
Yeah, I'll march right up to that commander, walk up to him and bang my warhammer up against my shield.
Right? You clatter your warhammer on your shield and make an unholy amount of noise, and the commander and Kresh turn around to look at you. And Kresh takes him a second for him to recognize you. The priest! And the commander goes, "What do you want, dwarf?"
"I am a member of the Order of the Forge, and I am letting you know that we need weapons against the enemy here. You wasting your time pulling these poor people out and trying to press them into service is only blunting our weapons against the enemy. If they choose to aid you, that is more than acceptable, and they can be used to fight off the enemy. But if you have to spend your resources and energy fighting them, you will not have enough left to fight the enemy."
Alrighty, I would like you to give me a persuasion, or if there's something else you think you might have a better shot at, go ahead and sell me on it.
It would be an attack roll, but yeah, so I'll do persuasion.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I'm as persuasive as usual. 8.
Okay. You obviously never had to deal with these cretins. They have no regard for anyone but themselves. They do not see that this city is the only thing that's saving their whole race from oblivion. If they're not going to stand and fight for your home, then what use are you?
I'll run up alongside. If you're here to force people to defend their homes, then you should be drafting everyone in the city. You're targeting serpent folk in particular, and it's not anything that's going to be helping us. If you're not going to draft everyone in the city who's able-bodied to fight, then get people like yourself, strong soldiers, up on the walls and knock down those siege towers.
All right, you can give me a persuasion as well.
All right, let's see. Well, that's 13. It's a little better, but...
Okay. And at this point, a serpent folk steps forward. and regards you, Zika.
Oh, wouldn't you like that, Issa? Coming here to be our savior, us poor wretches that you brutalized in the north. Yes, yes, why don't you take up arms? Why don't you go to the wall, little weasel?
I don't believe I was talking to you.
And the serpent folk start to rally around this god. And at that point, you hear the sound of fighting getting closer. You see a horde of infected people slowly lurching forward that is preceded by a small stalwart troop of guard that is pulling back. And as they get closer, things just seem to get a whole lot more tense and crazy here. So, what are you going to do?
I don't care whether you're serpent folk or not. I don't like seeing people being picked out by their race. And I don't like these resources being misappropriated when they should be out given a hand. Now, I'm doing my part. I've fought things that are bursting up out of the ground. We're being assaulted from all sides, and fighting amongst each other is only going to help them.
At this point, you see Kresh.
She's right. They're all right. Look.
And he turns around and addresses the whole crowd.
Those men are falling back here. We're going to be overrun. If you care for your lives, you have two options. Go over there and meet them, or piss off back down the street towards Shadyside, where there's refuge.
Guards, citizens, to me, charge!
All right, so this is what I'm going to do. Razor, with that rallying cry, I'm going to give you advantage on another persuasion.
All right, yeah, that's a 20.
All right. Some of the serpent folk in the back stand up and they pull out from nowhere weapons. Some of them have these curved blades. A lot of them will just have kind of makeshift weapons like chair legs, homemade clubs. Some of them have like broken swords that they're using, and some of them pull out slings and start hurling rocks. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to draw out a huge combat between you guys and an army of zombies. But what I'm going to ask everybody for is we're going to each do like one attack to kind of represent what's going on in the fight. So I'll start with Razor, since you are kind of the on-site commander of this little mess here.
Yeah, I'll rise up. I'll charge with a glowing hammer, and that's a 12 to hit. Okay. Not real impressive, but
all right.
Getting in there.
And Kiernan, give me whatever represents the attack that you do.
I'm going to try to find if there are any archers and get all of us sort of together in a little group so that we can provide some sort of cover to the people that are going in.
Sure, sure. There are a bunch of serpent folk with slings. One or two of them have worn bows. Some of them have javelins. So give me a ranged attack.
I got a 17.
Okay, that's good. And then Zika, what are you doing?
Probably do stuff like casting spells, like spike growth, so that as they run forward, they're all taking some damage from spike growth.
Okay, cool. Alrighty, so there's some kind of battlefield control going on there. And Reld is just, you know, doing what Reld do. So he gets a 17, so he's just kind of sawing through these zombies.
Try not to get bit. Stay away from their teeth. Don't get clawed. Don't get bit. And you're just hacking heads off, hacking arms off.
Kiernan and the ranged troops are falling stones and arrows coming into them. They're knocking them back. I'll do a general attack roll for the guard to see how the remaining guards are doing. Okay, they're having a little trouble, but you seem to have the advantage. The infected are not gaining ground, but they're not losing ground either. So let's do another round of this. So we'll go back up to Razor. You want to give me something?
Yeah, a couple more swings. Again, not real impressive. Round of 13 each.
Okay, you're holding up your end. Here it is. You could just do a ranged attack.
Gotcha. That's a 22.
All right. Okay, good. Alrighty. So that's going well. And Zika, are you continuing similar things?
I'll engage in melee.
All right.
Go ahead. My shillelagh. And that is a 22.
All right. And the guard, actually the guard roll up with a 20 themselves. So as time wears on, you notice that for the first time since you got here, things start to be going your way. Razor is holding his own. He's in a little bit of trouble, but holding his own. You've taken a few scratches, but you should be fine. The ranged troop concentrate a volley on the center, like the largest mass of them, and take a bunch of them out. And in that hole, Vika and the guard unit are able to press into that area, fill that whole area, and start pushing them back towards the river. So we'll do one more round of this. So Razor, go back up to you again.
Oh, I did much better. 23.
Okay, and then Kiernan, the ranged troop.
Oh, that was only a 14.
Okay, not bad. It's not a stunning round like last time, but you're holding your own. Supported just fine. Zika.
That is 14.
Okay, so no catastrophes. That's really the only thing that might have pushed this in the other direction. Defense roll from the zombies is really, really low. So the last volley of this whole thing becomes another tense back and forth as the infected start to appear to be rallying and pushing more up towards you. But Razor just leads this charge of serpent folk and a few guards into the center of this group. And you're able to keep them from moving forwards. And Razor, your group is able to break the cohesion of the unit, basically. So the big kind of controlled mob of infected just kind of falls apart into small little units that people are kind of able to take out or push back. And then by about an hour or so, this whole thing takes place. You are able to end this mini siege of Westgate and push a lot of the remaining soldiers and people just basically off over the cliff down into the ravine. And once that all comes to a head, the serpent folk appear to be kind of emboldened by this, and Kresh comes back over to you as you're heading back out to the bell.
I want to thank you guys for showing up again, and just want to tell you that I haven't forgotten what you three taught me. I think we made a lot of difference today. And whatever you're doing out there, I'm all for it. With good folk like you looking out for us, I think we might actually make it through this day.
Yes,
glad to hear that.
Perhaps you can, with your experience, you can, if the serpent folk will let you, lead them in the defense.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Good luck.
You too.
So as you head out of Westgate and back towards Talking Bell, you will get another update on the situation at the wall. So there's a pitch battle going on between the siege tower troops and the infantry on the wall. They seem to be cutting them down to a certain amount. The archers have been concentrating on chewing some of the infantry down on the ground of the Claudian infantry, but the catapults are still battering at the wall, and the ballistas have not been able to make that much of a difference. And the ground troops have solely turned their attention to routing the command structure. The thoughts from the Watchers' people are that they think that the infected commanders are a kind of evolved class among these infected now that can command even large units of these things and get them cohesive. And Kiernan, this will remind you of Clytus, the Claudian soldier that you fought under the Forge, who was using weapons and hiding behind the door and using tactics.
Right.
He seemed to be a little bit more intelligent and with it. You get a sense that the farther away they are, that it probably breaks down, because those forces at Westgate were moving in a unified fashion, but they were still just biting and slashing at people. But there appears to be some possible truth to that. Though the troops are being held off the wall has taken more damage, and the ground troops that are being led by these Shadow Scouts are solely concentrating on breaking the command structure. And that will get you to about 5 hours into this protracted siege, and the rumors coming to you from the street are that the Westgate attack has been repulsed. There have been some squabbling amongst the various different faiths in the Temple District as their handling of triage from different parts of the city. And you hear a rumor of a pack of wolves that have somehow poured into Hogsbane Alley. So that's kind of what you're dealing with right this second.
Are the wolves helping the city, or are they attacking?
Doesn't sound like it.
Okay.
Sounds like, or those infected wolves.
Gotcha.
and there are more people coming into the bar that look a little worse for wear. There's talks of some infected people here and there, you know, coming into place. Nothing of the magnitude of Westgate, but there are more infected people that are active in the area in small groups that are mostly being repelled. But some people have been hurt. Some people have been chased out of their homes. So what is your plan now?
Well, while we consider planning, I will tend to wounded with medicine.
Yes. So from that last whole battle, you have 11 damage on you, Razor.
All right.
And Zika, 6 on you. Kiernan, you are okay. But while this is going on, Kiernan, Cub starts to get real anxious and starts barking very loudly, then running to the door, then looking over at you, then running back to you, and then barking, then going back to the door and looking at you. Wow, Lassie's trying to tell you something.
Is it the wolves? Is that what you're barking at?
He yips in affirmative.
We should do something about that, I think.
Well, let's go.
All right. All right, so you guys are going to hightail it to Hogsbane Alley, where all this started.
We'll take Grelb if he is able to come.
Oh, yeah, he is ready to go. He heard your wolf story and wants a piece of them wolves. So you get to Hogsbane Alley. The barriers and the pickets that were there from before, they're all gone. With the exception of the chaos, it looks like a regular old district again. However, there are a bunch of citizenry that are holding off a pack of wolves that are ravenously trying to get at the pigs, trying to get at people, and causing all kinds of trouble. Grail just kind of looks at you like, we're just going to rush them, right?
Let's go.
All righty, here we go. Initiative. Grub once again rolls really badly.
So did I.
Me too.
All right, well, I got some good news. The wolves didn't roll very well either.
It was better than I thought it was. Never mind.
Okay.
15.
Kiernan.
7.
Zika.
Also 7.
All right. Still all going before the wolves. There's 6 of them that you can get to. The rest are being kind of held back by the villagers. So you're pretty sure if you can saw through this pack as quickly as you can, you can maybe turn this thing to your advantage. So Razor, you are first.
All right. Yeah, so I'll run up, divine favor, and then a strike. 17 hit them?
Certainly does.
All right. 11 points of damage.
Okay. So Razor wheels up and cracks the first wolf that he comes across and just splits his head in half. Just with one blow, one kill. And Grelb, seeing that, goes, warriors against the apocalypse, right? And wheels up on a wolf with his great sword. That is a hit. Once again, exactly. So yeah, following you in, Grelb wheels up on another one of these wolves and just hacks it in half. Both of you did exactly the amount of damage you needed to do to kill them outright. So we go to Kiernan.
I will attempt to aim and shoot at one of them. I'll stay a little ways away, maybe okay. 15 feet or so.
Sure.
That is a 29 to hit.
Oh, so yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Damage is, I don't think I did enough. That'll be only 9 points of damage.
Okay, almost. Alrighty, Zika.
I'm going clubbing.
All right.
Oh, that's going to miss. 9, I'm sure, misses. That was not great.
Not by much, but it doesn't. Alrighty, so get a wolf on each of you. So the 4 remaining wolves will each in turn attack one of you. So one chomps at Grelb and misses. And then one rolls Kiernan and also misses. And another one comes up to Razor. And that will also miss. And the 4th and final one wheels over and tries to chomp on Zika and rolls a 16. Yeah, no, 15.
15, yay!
Okay, 15 misses. Okay, and Kiernan, Cub is champing at the bit to get in this.
Yeah, I'll let him go.
You might get a name for this. Go back up to the top, Razor.
All right. Swing. Oh, that's a crit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't even bother rolling the damage. You wheel up on the one that was attacking you, and, what do you do to him?
I kind of deflect out of the way with my shield and then just take the hammer right down on its head, smashing its head into the ground.
Alrighty. It's the dirt. And here comes Grelb. Grelb is going to...
Grelb get a whip? Apparently Grelb has a whip.
Yeah. Yeah, Grelb gets a little bit overeager and attempts to do a kind of fancy maneuver on the wolf he's on. He tries to basically jump onto the wolf and then just pin cushion it, but he jumps up in the air and the wolf just runs out from under him and he hits the ground kind of embarrassingly and clongs his sword into the dirt. And you just hear him go, "You're not in the ring, Grelb. You're not in the ring." And Kiernan.
I assume that Cub is going to attack the one that's on me.
Yeah, so go ahead and...
allow him to attack. He does get advantage because I'm there, but I don't think he needs it because that's pretty good. 24 to hit.
Oh, hell yeah.
And his damage is 9.
Okay. He lunges forward and jumps on one of the larger wolves, and they just turn into like this wolf pile, and they're on each other and yipping and biting and shredding at each other, and he definitely seems to have the upper hand on this wolf. And then we go to Zika.
Oh boy, I'm not doing so hot this fight. Miss again.
Okay, the infected wolf is rearing his head back and bringing his jaws back down on the little wolf. 14 against Cub?
Nope.
And having no luck whatsoever. Cub is just dodging out of the way and then like just throwing a paw up and bashing his head out of the way. And he's really impressive, this little guy. So the wolf that Grelb just missed wheels around on him and chomps into his leg and just gets a face full of leg grease. Oh, little doggy wanna play. And the last wolf is going to, well, it's coming at you, Zika. That's once again a 15, so it misses you as well. Back up to the top, Razor. There's a wolf on Grelb, and there's a wolf on Zika, and then there's the dog pile of Cub and Wolf that Cub seems to have well in hand.
All right, well, I'll attack the one on Zika.
Okay.
I don't want to steal Grelb's kill.
Yeah,
I'm already showing him up in this battle.
That's fine.
I actually missed.
Okay, so Grelb is going to focus and he is going to make another lunging attack at this wolf, and he hits it and he killed this thing a couple of times. They sit down at the dog that's attached to his leg and he just whips up the great sword and then just pulls it up over his head and then with great force curls it down onto the wolf out his leg and just spears it into the ground. And it sputters and dies. And we go to Kiernan.
I will anxiously watch as Cub continues to attack this wolf.
Yep.
That's another, oh my gosh, the same exact roll.
Okay.
That's another 24, I believe it is.
Okay, yeah.
Hit, and so 9 damage again.
Alrighty, so yeah, down there in the Cub wolf pile, Cub, you see his head in this horrible fur just kind of going back and forth, just kind of, and then you see his face pull up from the hide of the wolf and his mouth is just bloody, gooky, yellow, gross, and he just kind of shakes his head as the infected wolf just comes to a halt on the ground. We go to Zika.
All right. That should hit 17.
Oh, yeah.
That will do 12.
Okay. So describe how you kill the last wolf.
I bring Black Oak Foe Crasher down and strike it squarely in the center of mass, and it collapses onto the ground and doesn't get back up.
Okay. And you will also notice that these wolves all went down on the first kill. None of them seem to get back up again.
That's good.
They seem to be a lot more raggedy. Looking at their bodies, you see that these wolves were probably just rolling around in the woods this whole time and are probably part of the original like group of infected wolves there. And as time has gone by, they've kind of started to degenerate. So there appears to be, at least for this first level of infection, there does appear to enhance the rotting of at least lower creatures. The rest of the villagers of Hogsbane Alley are able to similarly dispatch the remainder of the pack without anyone getting seriously wounded or infected. So, You head back to the talking bell as it gets to about the middle of the day, and you hear some good news. You hear that the siege has kind of turned a bit of a corner, that within the last hour, the scouts leading the ground troops were able to dispatch the commanders of the infected army. And as soon as that happened, all the remaining troops on the ground drop their weapons, unman the catapults. So the catapults have gotten the wall to about halfway down, but it's still up. But the catapults are no longer being manned. And apparently the whole force has all coalesced in one big horde. They're basically saying they're propelling themselves at the wall. This is a big mass of troops trying to tear down a wall, which is, you know, probably not going to work, but there's just a lot of them all of a sudden just coming in one direction. So if they can hold off this horde, we should be okay. But it is a little bit frightening there on the ground. And a crow flies into the bar, sits on the bar, and just starts cawing. And you will notice that it has a little scroll attached to one of its legs.
Untie the scroll.
Okay. You untie the scroll from the raven, and you will see a note, a very, very brief note. They're coming for me, your friend. Do with this what you will. Presumably Tahar.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Uh-oh. And that is where we will cliffhanger this episode, and we will pick up with what happens right after this.
Dun, dun.
So, battle. Yeah, the battle seems to be at a possible turning point, but it's hard to say. And something's going on with your buddy Tahar. So we will see you all in 2 weeks. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
You can follow Architects of Entropy on Facebook. You can also email us at entropypod@gmail.com. That's entropypod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.